dug it out years ago working for criminal defense attorneys. Yeah. Had a big eye-opening experience. Yeah. Okay, because I came from middle class white America and thought that all the police were good and all the people that were arrested were guilty. Okay, so I had a big awakening. And then I realized, you know, my gosh, you know, as often as not, the police are the ones that are wrong. And so then I got involved with a program called Jail Ministry. Well, it's run by the Catholic Charities here in Syracuse. It's a very local program, and it was started by a former priest. And he's really a good guy, Bill Cuddy. So he founded this program called Jail Ministry here locally. And what they do is they bring people in from the community, and you have to get cleared, and you have to go through a training. You then get hooked up with a prisoner in the Justice Center here in Syracuse as an advocate for that person. You go right into the pod where they are being held. You sit in a little conference room, the two of you, and you talk. And now you can do anything, religious. You can pray with them. You can, you know, listen to their concerns. They oftentimes will ask you to do things for them, which you can, maybe you can or cannot do, depending on your own judgment and maybe the judgment of the jail ministry people. So that's how I got started. And then I would meet all these people in there, primarily men. And, I mean, you form a bond with them. These are human beings, and they have issues in there. But most of them are decent people that have made bad decisions. Most of them are guilty, and they don't try to tell you they're not. You know. So we deal with things, and you really form bonds. And I said to my jail ministry people, I said, how do you leave these people behind when they leave the prison, the jail, to either get sentenced or get free? None of them had a problem with it except for me. So I have an extensive legal background. So I would help them quite often with problems that they were encountering besides their crimes, which would be like a divorce, child custody issues, all kinds of things. So I got really heavily involved. I helped one man get his custody of his two sons, and all kinds of things. I testified in family court for another fellow and his wife who had their little baby taken away from them at birth. I mean, just horrible things. And so I've been doing this for about 10 years, and I just love it. It's my passion. And I go and visit the men that I used to know in the jail at the prisons, the state facilities. So I'm still helping them. And then when they get out, I help them more. I help their families. And one person told me, you're like a one-person social service agency. So I'm not connected with jail ministry currently because I was doing way more than they wanted me to do. They wanted to hold me back. They want to restrict you. They want you to only do certain things at a certain level and no more. And I couldn't do that. I'm very passionate about what I do, and I believe wholeheartedly in what I do, and it's so necessary, and nobody does this. I mean, I helped one fellow get a job when he got out. I wish I could do more, but I don't have the connections, you know. And I actually give them a lot of money, these people. God has blessed me with a good job and an ability to deal with this. People don't know how I deal with this. You know, how do you do this with all the horror and all the unpleasantness and all the problems and all the negativity that I run into, you see? And yet I'm able to do it, and I'm able to put it aside and have my own life. I allow three or four inmates to call me at home, ones I trust. And I collect calls from them. And a lot of them have said they could never do this without me. Because they're in there with the horror that goes on and the injustice that's perpetrated on them, not only by other inmates, but by the guards. I've gotten in Albany involved. I've contacted the powers that be in Albany and had them go investigate cases of abuse in the prisons. And, you know, there aren't enough people that will do this, that will speak up and try to do something. I would have a full-time job, a stressful job in a legal office. And yet I find the time, and if I can find the time, with a family and a husband at home and a house to take care of, you know, anybody can. It just takes a little bit. You know, I don't expect people would do as much as I do, but on the other hand, we can all do something. For instance, the poor woman that died in the Justice Center in childbirth. Well, she wasn't in childbirth, but she was pregnant. I mean, this is an outrage. This happens from time to time. People die there like it's Nazi Germany. This is our prison in our own city. And these things are happening. And who's accountable? No done. I would almost guarantee you that the people that allowed this to happen will not be held accountable in any way, shape, or form, any meaningful way. To me, there should be charges, criminal charges brought against these people. But I know that it's not going to happen. And a woman is dead because of that. I would like to see them held accountable. They're not held accountable. I'm sure they must be, I would assume, trained to deal with these kinds of circumstances. Maybe their training needs to be improved. If you see a woman lying on the floor, weeping in pain, and splashing water from a toilet on her face, you know that she's in desperate straits. You don't leave her there. I mean, would you? Nor would I. Nor would any caring person. So I can't understand that. I think that all the guards are trained to be suspicious. They're told never to trust an inmate. They're told that they're devious and they're scheming and they will do anything to get out. That's what I think the story is there. So they don't trust them, they don't believe anything they say, or nor any actions that they might see them do. That's the only thing I can think of. The thing is, it needs to start with the families. You know, people say, well, there should be more programs for inner city people. It needs to start way before programs. It needs to start with families, and the family has totally disintegrated. There's much of any, not for everyone, but an awful lot of families in the inner city of really training in bringing up children with discipline in an understanding of right and wrong. Now, I'm a Christian person, and I believe in going in God and Jesus Christ and instilling those types of values in children at a very young age. Now, that wouldn't totally do it because I know some of the guys that I visit, they don't get any, they have none of that. And even if they did, they are so influenced by their peers in a negative way. And I have no clue what the answer is. I think it might be a combination of different things. But I do think that there need to be a lot more alternatives to incarceration. There's a program that is in effect right now in Syracuse and New York City called just that, Alternatives to Incarceration. And they do try to step in, especially with young people, and guide them away from the lifestyle that they seem to be patterning their lives after, and, you know, get them started in another direction. The woman that started it was a friend of or a collaborator with an attorney that I worked for a few years. And I think because the attorney was here in Syracuse, this agency started out in New York City, but they put an office up here too. So I sometimes will call and pick his brains, and right now I'm working to help a fellow who's an inmate in Elmira right now, who was convicted after a trial of murdering his wife, but he's innocent. I'm totally convinced he never did this, and I'm trying to get him out. Yeah. Poor me, right? But I'm doing what I can, and the attorney that I used to work with, that's at Center for Community Alternatives, is sort of, I think he's going to help me a little bit with that. So I'm just all over the place with stuff like this. I would love to have people involved. People are totally terrified of inmates, first of all, unfoundedly. I mean, you have to be cautious. You have to know who you can trust and who you might not want to get too close to or share too much information with, you know. But for the most part, these people, they're so appreciative and they love any kind of positive attention in their lives. And, you know, it's just a wonderful opportunity to do something in this world to make the world a better place. And it's so rewarding. I feel like I get more out of it than I give. It's just a wonderful experience, and I mean, I would welcome anyone, you know, to come and help me out here. But other agencies that I have tried to hook up with myself, they're too restrictive. They don't want you to, if you can go into the prisons and meet with inmates, or you can never tell them your last name, for example. You cannot send them a Christmas card or a birthday card from you personally. No personal relationship, no building trust. And I think you have to have trust. You know, they don't trust people because they have been let down so much throughout their lifetime. That someone who's on the outside who has something to offer, who's had a good life, who has accomplished something, who's respected, to pay attention to them. It's this huge thing. It's this huge thing. And they're like, I remember I was helping one fella, trying to get him some help through, with a federal government's program, I think some sort of a disability program. And I said, well, he just couldn't get himself to go there. I said, I will go with you. We'll go together. So I met him down in the corner down here, and we walked over to the federal building. He said, I can't believe I'm walking down the street with you. I said, Cedric, why? What do you mean? That you would walk down the street with me. Wow. Can you believe it? I mean, it's just incredible. And the same fellow, I helped him get some furniture for his apartment, you know, not money-wise, but, you know, you'd find things, or my family would have extra stuff, and we carried it up to the third floor in his little attic place, you know. He sat down on the stairs and cried. This great big guy, because I was helping him. It's Carol Burrett. That's my story. You know, I try to connect with different agencies, like I sort of started to tell you, but they just... it doesn't work for me. This is what I like. You know, I'm in my own boss. I do my own thing. I have to use a lot of common sense. And I have to be very in tune with different, with people that I meet. And because some of them, you know, I've had no trouble with anyone in the system. But I got a little difficulty with one out of the system that had some problems. But they're very protective of me. They're very protective. And so, you know, as far as being afraid of them, not a one bit. In fact, I feel more comfortable with them than I would some stranger, you know, that I don't know. Everyone's got the wrong idea about inmates. Yep.